What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jailai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
How much of a challenge has the first 5 weeks been for you, Russell Wilson?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's like my favorite Earth, Wind & Fire song, The Way of the World. You know, I'm built for it.
I got this 39 yards. Chargers win.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson. Coming up, head of lifestyle and content marketing for NBA 2K, Ronnie 2K. Buffalo Bills safety, Jordan Poyer. Plus, actor Colin Hanks. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Ronnie 2K is making his way to our studio to help celebrate the tip-off of the NBA season. He's the one who is atop the NBA 2K flowchart for deciding on rankings that rankles many of the players. Yeah. And they also went through a simulation of the entire season, came up with the MVP, Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, and of course the two combatants for the Larry OB and who's going to win it. The MVP, the finals MVP. This is pretty neat stuff right here when Ronnie 2K comes in our show studio in about 19 minutes time. Jordan Poyer of the 5-1 Buffalo Bills, who drove back and forth to the game in Kansas City to play it because he wasn't cleared to fly medically. He's got quite the story to tell. He's on in hour number three. And then my buddy Colin Hanks stops by. He's got a new show on Peacock called A Friend of the Family. It's some pretty creepy stuff, not going to lie.
Is it family or family?
Family, I think. We'll ask him when he shows up in hour number three of this program. We just had a great chat with Greg Olson. If you missed it, there's our ability to re-air thanks to the Roku channel as soon as we're done. And now the Rich Eisen Show Collection, as it is known, video on demand. So you can check out Greg Olson's appearance on the Rich Eisen Show Collection page on the Roku channel, which you can get for free on all Roku devices, Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV. The Roku app has it for free as well, it being the Roku channel and this show through it. And of course, the RokuChannel.com for anybody who wants to watch us on a desktop. And we've gotten a few tweets of people sneaking in the show at work, and we appreciate you doing that because it shows that you're loyal fans of the program, and you don't mind letting your bosses know you're shirking.
That's what's up.
Shirking a little bit. I also started the show saying whatever the Denver Broncos have been doing over the last 6 weeks, the first 6 weeks of the season offensively, despite Nathaniel Hackett having a terrific endorsement, as Greg Olson, our first hour guest, pointed out, from Aaron Rodgers, thinks he's a great coach. Whatever the hell he's doing with Russell Wilson, it ain't working. It ain't working. And, you know, the latest example of maybe he just doesn't have his pulse of the team, and that's the thing that I'm really nervous about. Why would you bench Melvin Gordon against the Chargers? The coaches who have their pulse of the team will always utilize that sort of stuff. Always. And let the players in the locker room know, I get you. I understand this is the team that once upon a time had you and let you go. And we're the team that before I got here took you in. But yeah, we're going to give you 3 carries for 8 yards in the first quarter and then hand things off to a guy who was on the Saints practice squad 2 weeks ago. Man, I don't know. That's one of those
It's another alarm bell. I'm not going to throw the entire Broncos season out, even though I did say in the entirety of the offseason I needed to see it to believe it. You can't just add Russ and see you're going to win a Super Bowl. I, of course, also said the Raiders were going to win this division. They're 1-4. So, it was just a brutal loss for them again last night. And the Chargers are 4-2. You are what you are. They haven't been terribly impressive, with the exception of that week two loss against Kansas City. You know, otherwise, you know, what are you hanging your hat on? I mean, that was a nice win against Vegas in week one. They got blown out by Jacksonville. They went to Houston, won that one. They went to Cleveland, and they were lucky to win that one. And last night, they were lucky to win that one. But you are what you are, and they're 4-2, and they take on Seattle next week. And I proffer to say they better buckle up, because the Seahawks are nobody's homecoming, as expected going into the season. Sunday night football this week is Pittsburgh at Miami.
Ooh.
We're expecting to see Tua return from concussion protocol. That has been reported widely. We have not seen Tua since that horrific hit, reaction, and card off in Cincinnati in the Thursday night football opener of week four. Miami hasn't won since, by the way, since coming back and taking care of business against the Bills in that one in week three. So, look, the question is for Pittsburgh, who's going to be their starting quarterback? Is it the rookie who didn't really shine that much offensively against Tampa after getting the floor mopped with him in Buffalo the week before? And then Mitchell Trubisky came and took a lead that he expanded and kind of saved the team's bacon a little bit. Who's it going to be? Well, Mike Tomlin just held a press conference in Pittsburgh, PA, and had this to say about his quarterback, Kenny Pickett, still being in concussion protocol, but roll tape.
Mike, when you look at the quarterback situation for Sunday, I know you said Kenny will play if he's cleared to play. Just what went into the decision to stick with Kenny, especially after the way that Mitch came in and played in relief?
It's really just not a lot to talk about. We're not going to blow in the wind. We're going to be somewhat steady. I've been consistent in my messaging regarding decision making in that position. I think it helps those that are playing. I think it helps the team in terms of who to follow. And we're not going to flip the script now.
We don't blow in the wind, is what he said. So it's going to be Pickett. He's already turned the page. And hey, Trubisky, this is what's you're there for.
Yeah,
exactly. You were there to be the starting quarterback if you could. And we decided to make the switch to the rookie who we drafted, even though we signed you before the draft. And you're now the relief pitcher if we need you. And we called you in from the pen. Good job. Keep it up. We're going to need you to do it again, probably. Because again, Pickett went out not due to ineffectiveness, due to injury. Again, that's the point I'm kind of making. As Melvin Gordon in Los Angeles for Denver was left scratching his head saying, nobody told me why I was benched. And here's Tomlin saying, I have told everybody what their roles are, and it helps out. That's some notes that could be taken in the Rocky Mountains right there. And then you got what's going on in Dallas, which is it looks like Dak will return this weekend. At this point in time, it's still a lot of ifs and buts, but I think this is going to happen. Here was Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan.
The Fan.
And his usual Tuesday spot on this very subject matter on Tuesday.
He's determined to. I think he's, from my perspective, from what I can know and see, I think he's going to get there. We feel like that physically he's at a position that the risk reward that justifies him being out there in terms of any reoccurrence of the injury. Set that one off to the side. We don't have that to think about. So it's a question of him getting ready. And he's going to be given every opportunity this week to get ready to go play. He had a very impressive throwing session before the game there in Philadelphia. And he just really can put the ball placement, throw the ball, strength, spin, zip, really the whole repertoire of being able to throw that football. I think he'll be back, and I think we'll get to do anything that we want to do. He's is that no one is more prepared, no one has spent more hours getting ready to play a football game than Dak. And I think we've got it all there, the full repertoire. So I don't think there'll be any limitations on anything we do.
There you go. Detroit at Dallas. Looks like it's going to be Dak. And now that Dak is appearing to be back, and I think he will be.
Yeah, for sure.
Isn't it amazing that this guy who did what he's done for Dallas and has shown the metal for Dallas, that in the middle of a four-game win streak by his backup quarterback, full-blown conversation in many corners of this football-loving universe, certainly in the world of the media, Dak's job was in jeopardy. Now, it may not have been within the walls of Dallas's...
It wasn't.
...structure in the Star, right?
Probably not, right?
But I don't think so either. I don't think so, as you know. But we even, on occasion, did say, hey, how many more games is he going to start? And if he wins and all the high register stuff.
You know what? That means we didn't believe it.
No, I know that. That's true.
Okay, we just
and
said
when
it.
And when and it was first put into the mind's eye of all who talk about this stuff 24/7, 365 by Jerry Jones inviting.
Right, exactly.
But you said even when he said that into a microphone on that day, you're like, oh God, Jerry Jones just invited a quarterback controversy. And without even hearing the soundbite, I said, I know what he means.
Yeah, you were immediately.
And I'm like, I speak fluent, Jerry. And so he's basically saying, bring it on. I can handle it. I want you to put me in a position because you win so damn much. And he went 4-1.
Yeah.
I mean, so he took a team that was one game under 500 and now hands it back two games over 500. That's what a backup quarterback is supposed to do.
But
it caused me to think, though, how many quarterbacks in this league would be immune if they got hurt to their backup winning four straight games and causing them to still be immune to the quarterback controversy talk that gets churned up by so many in the 24/7, 365 sports talk universe.
I like this game.
The hashtags on Twitter and the topic bars in the bottom of the screen and the analysts on either side of a bar down the middle who are yelling. And how many quarterbacks would be immune to that? And I have a few names here that would be immune to it. Because there's only a handful of them.
Yeah.
And there are some that I don't think would be immune to it.
Okay, you want to go down the roster here?
I got Josh Allen's name first.
I was going to just, let's run down the playoff standings and I'll throw teams out.
Okay, go for it.
So your number one seed in the AFC right now, the Buffalo Bills. So obviously Josh Allen.
He's immune to it.
Right. Patrick Mahomes.
He's immune to it.
The three seed. How about Ryan Tannehill?
He would definitely not be immune to it. If Malik Willis came in and started lighting it up and won four games in a row, you think there wouldn't be a conversation with Mike Vrabel and say, who's your guy? Who's your guy? Now, he might be one of those Belichick-type coaches who put the velvet ropes around a conversation that would normally consume a team and just keep everyone out of that club. But no question that would be a conversation.
Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson, if Tyler Huntley came in and won four games in a row for the Baltimore Ravens, there would no question be conversations about, well, Lamar might not have done the right thing by betting on himself. Why would you pay this guy all that money when you've got Tyler Huntley right here? 1,000,000%. There would be a full-blown, full-on quarterback controversy conversation. Now, Harbaugh and Bisciotti and DePotesta might not, you know, give it any idea within their building, but maybe they would.
So, can I ask you a question?
No doubt in my mind if Tyler Huntley won four in a row with the Ravens starting out 3-3 and Lamar throwing a pick and fumbling in back-to-back possessions to lose in New Jersey against the Giants. No question.
I respectfully disagree with that, but what are we talking about here? You're saying, like, inside the building it wouldn't be a question, so we're just saying
outside noise.
I don't believe that would happen to Lamar, and you just said you don't believe that the team would let it happen, so you're judging from people who don't matter?
People who don't matter maybe to the decision-makers in the building, but the conversation, you don't think Dak heard this and it crept into his mind. You think he's cool with that conversation that's being had about him nationally?
I think Jerry probably had a talk with Dak, and Dak knows what time it is. And so I don't believe Dak Prescott ever sat there and thought, I'm going to lose my job. I don't believe that.
I bet you he didn't. It's the same owner who once, you know, had a coach say, let's go with Steve Berline. And Troy Aikman was the guy. I'm telling you, man. And doubts creep. Doubts creep. And also, if Tyler Huntley won four games in a row while Lamar Jackson's out after he said, I'm betting on myself, you don't think it would be a full-on? Oh, I think there would be when it comes to him.
Justin Herbert.
No way. I don't think so.
Zach Wilson?
I still think he's still so young that they need to see what he can do. They're not going to go with Joe Flacco.
Matt Ryan.
I don't think. Absolutely. But Sam Ehlinger comes and wins four in a row for Indianapolis? Absolutely.
They've kind of righted the ship a little bit.
Full on. And they might even consider it. I don't know.
Joe Burrow.
No way.
Tua.
Absolutely. Skylar Thompson went on a four-game win streak if he was healthy? Absolutely.
Well, we're halfway home here. Mac Jones. So.
It's already happening. It's already happening. New England.
I know. Two bad teams he's beaten.
But I get you, but it's already full. It's full blown. Call any of your buddies back home.
I feel you, man. I get it. How about Trevor Lawrence?
No, I don't think so. How about this one? Let's go to the other one. Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts got hurt, okay, and Gardner Minshew won four in a row, what do you think would happen in Philadelphia? They would just be chilling, waiting for Jalen Hurts to come back? Really, on WIP, you think?
Wait, right now?
Yeah.
At 6-0?
Yes. You don't think there'd be zero comp.
But is it like Rush? Is he just throwing for like 180?
I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into it.
All right.
I don't even think he would be immune to it right now. There were guys coming into the season that were tweeting at me saying he was garbage at the end of last year. What gives you an idea of thinking that he could be the starting quarterback here in Philadelphia? You don't think there would be a switch that gets flipped in some parts of Philadelphia where that conversation would creep? Now, again,
finicky fan base.
They might go right back at, you know, obviously back in the walls of Philadelphia. But some of these conversations might actually creep into the walls of buildings, TJ, and it would be considered. Some places might consider it.
What about Derek Carr?
Absolutely, I think. The backup comes in for four games. Used to be Mariota. Now it's Jared Stidham.
Yeah, Stidham.
I think there would be a conversation, you know,
around it. Kirk Cousins?
1,000,000%. Come on, man. Come on. Got to get him back. Got to get Kirk Cousins back. Four in a row. The conversation happened to Dak. He's got a $40 million a year contract. Dak Prescott had this happen to him. You don't think it would happen to Kirk Cousins? Come on.
All right, I'm going to throw three guys out. You'll tell me which one most more likely.
But Brady, Rodgers, and who else?
Stafford.
I don't know if it would happen to Stafford in this town. So many people are you know, the Lakers are starting. I really believe, honestly, be a full-blown conversation in this town. Well, they'll be like, wait, LeBron is out again tonight? Like, that's the way people walk around in this town.
That hasn't looked
like
good,
though. Half the sports fans in this town are still zombies when it comes to football.
All three of these guys haven't looked good.
They're still upset that, you know, I mean, I don't know how many fans are, like, calling into the local stations saying the Rams are on the brink when they're livid about Dave Roberts and the Dodgers.
All right, last
one. I would think that Stafford and Brady and Rodgers, I mean, come on now. I mean, Rodgers, if Jordan Love came in and started lighting it up for four straight games, I think some sports talk conversations would have at it, but not this place. Not here. Same thing with Brady, too.
Last one. What about Kyler Murray?
Absolutely. It happened a little bit last year when Colt McCoy came in and won two or three games when Kyler was out. And they were undefeated when Kyler was going. Kyler went out and got hurt in the game when they lost to the Packers. Remember that? He got hurt on that last play that he threw to A.J. Green?
Yeah.
And then he missed two of the next three games. And Colt McCoy won two of the next three. He missed three of the next three games. And Colt McCoy won two of the three. Absolutely would happen to Kyler Murray. No question in my mind it would happen to him nationally, if not maybe locally in Arizona. No doubt in my mind. You think Kyler Murray's immune to it? He would be immune to it. Like, can't wait for him to get back if Colt McCoy's 4-0.
Problem is, they just paid him. Same thing. Why they like? Why
I'm not saying that the Cardinals wouldn't.
I know. I understand.
Cardinals wouldn't entertain it. I'm just talking about again.
The problem is Colt McCoy isn't like their future.
Honestly, just and then we'll get to Ronnie 2K here in studio. Think about it. Dak Prescott signs a long-term contract, $40 million a year, for the Dallas freaking Cowboys. He gets hurt 2 years ago, carted off. We saw what the hell happened. We learned of the name Ben and DiNucci when we never heard of him before. He comes back, and he damn near beats the Bucs and Brady, TJ, on the night they raised the banner, throwing, what, 400 yards in that game? He was dynamite.
Thanks, Greg Zuerlein.
He was dynamite. You hate and the team did very well last year, and I understand what happened in the playoffs, getting one and done by San Francisco. I understand it. I get it. I saw what happened. But he's still Dak freaking Prescott for this team. And he goes out, he gets hurt in week one, and Cooper Rush comes in, wins four straight games, and everybody in this country goes nuts about maybe it's not Dak's team anymore.
Everybody, man.
And so you think it won't happen? Yes, TJ. I mean, outside of these walls. And maybe not Dan, you know, but others. Most everyone else. That's all I was talking about is maybe he's going to sit.
I really felt like this is just standard issue Cowboys talk, because Cowboys always get talked about.
Filled a whole month of sports.
You don't think the whole, but like, you don't think this could happen to Kyler? Lamar Jackson, if Tyler Huntley, let's just say Lamar gets hurt, heaven forbid, next game, and Tyler Huntley comes in and turns this team that goes maybe 3-4 into 7-4. And he's doing what he did, let's just say, against the Packers last year. Remember him? And he got in there. He played very well.
Well, there was talk people wanted to trade for
yes.
him.
Yes. Yeah. Come on now.
So they'll just give up on a former most valuable player of the league just like that?
Not for long, bro. NFL.
I don't know.
This can happen to most anybody.
Especially when they're not contractually obligated to him.
Who's immune to this treatment from the national football media? Who's immune? I just gave you. Here are guys. Brady, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Burrow, Rodgers, and then I got question marks next to Stafford, Lamar, and Kyler Murray. I do.
I mean, I think at 45, even Brady is not immune.
What? So if Blaine Gabbert comes in and goes 4-0 for the Bucs?
Or Kyle Trask.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think Brady's safe from...
Brady's getting criticized now for going to Bob Kraft's wedding.
I know.
Yeah.
He's not immune to anything anymore.
Is he really getting... I mean...
He is. People are blaming him for the loss.
It's like I heard Keyshawn Johnson say, your boy Keyshawn, say this today. He had no problem with it, just because when you're at that age, your body needs time. Tom needs a little more time to recoup and recover anyway. And he didn't feel like that was an issue, the fact that he went to that. So there's just one player saying he didn't.
I'm not saying that I'm saying. No, I'm saying it's being talked about.
Interesting. That was just my food for thought here. Let's take a break.
I like that, though.
Okay, very good. Let's take a break. Ronnie 2K is here, everybody. Happy NBA season and NBA 2K season, one and all. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. And we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit, one big happy family here. And this is the way we celebrate the tip-off of the National Basketball Association season. Are we going to have just any old pundit on here? Are we going to have any coach player? We could.
Yeah, we could.
We could flex that one, man. But no, what we have for you here on the Rich Eisen Show, live in studio here in Los Angeles. The head of lifestyle and content marketing is his official title for NBA 2K, the famed Ronnie 2K here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, sir.
What's up, Rich? How are you?
Happy NBA season to you.
Yeah, you too, sir. I'm so excited to be here. I'm actually flying to the Warriors ring ceremony tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to have to tip off the season 2K style.
Do you rate the rings as well? Is there a rating for the rings?
I actually have a 2015 NBA, their first title with the Warriors.
Is that right?
Yeah. Harrison Barnes, a good friend of mine, gifted me one of the rings.
Wow, so, is that right?
Even though I'm not really getting along with the Warriors recently, I still have that ring.
Yes, that kind of leads me into one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, how do you come up with your rating system? What is your
well first
system,
of all
sir?
I'm not the guy.
I am not the guy.
I'm a guy. I'm a guy playing a guy disguised as another guy.
Are you really an avatar? You're not really a human being?
I'm not actually really
wow,
here
this
either.
Is wild.
We're in the simulation right
very
now.
Very lifelike. So yeah. So you're kind of catching the heat for those.
No,
who
I mean,
this sort
look, the lightning rod that is the ratings conversation is so fascinating to me because, you know, all of these guys, they're getting paid millions of dollars. They're getting all NBA, you know, accolades, MVP accolades, and yet this ratings thing means so much to them.
Well, because you're rating them.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Well, I mean, this is also our 24th franchise of NBA 2K, and all of these guys have really played it their entire lives, right? So, like, it's one of those things that's all they know. So, like, getting into the league is 1A, right, being drafted in the NBA, and then all of a sudden, we're right there. We're 1B, getting to be in this amazing video game.
Right. So you understand then. I mean, if they've grew up playing it and placed so much in the rating system
yep.
when they're playing it,
yeah.
that now that they are actually the person who's being played,
yeah.
they want to make sure that the respect is paid to them in the manner in which they viewed the rating as a respect being paid when they played it.
100%. I mean, look, it's another thing to be competitive about, right? Like how many all-star nods you get, how points per game, all of those things. What's another thing? That NBA 2K rating.
So are you not part of the process at all?
No, it's not that I'm not part of the process at all. I definitely sit in with those guys. I, as the face of NBA 2K, I have a lot of responsibilities in the marketing, you know, the cultural lifestyle thing that is this game.
Mm-hmm.
But ratings is definitely a big part of it. But I sit on a panel with a bunch of people. But ultimately, it's actually formulaic. And it's also something that changes over the course of the season. I was on another station yesterday.
That's okay.
And
you
I got
say
a lot
ESPN.
Of,
you can
yes,
say ESPN.
I was on ESPN
I used
yesterday.
To be on ESPN,
yes,
too.
Yes, you did. I remember. Yeah. I used Thank to you. Be a big fan watching you.
Thank you.
They asked me, like, I said it and it got caught up on all social media, but it's very simple. Mm-hmm. You want a better rating? Play better. It's really that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely specific ones that are interesting. So the Klay Thompson thing, I'm sure we're going to talk about that.
Sure. Well, I mean,
would you like to ask me?
Well, I mean, we have the screen grab of what he posted on the Instagram
yep.
Of the NBA on ESPN when announcing your arrival there, and Klay Thompson called you a clown.
Yep.
It's funny
because he also said I'm a promoter, so he knows that I don't actually deal with the ratings, so I don't really get this, but. I will say, like, look, Klay is an amazing basketball player. I live in the Bay Area. I have been to many of the NBA Finals games and very honored and blessed to be able to do that. Klay actually lives right down the street from me as well, which is interesting.
Yes.
We've run into each other around town, and it's always been really nice. I've always had much, much respect for Klay. I really think that, like, the big thing here is, you know, he's an 88 in three-point rating this year. He had kind of a rough return from three ball, and so, like, that's still the second highest NBA 2K three-point rating, tied with, I believe, Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard. At some point, you know who he needs to blame? Hmm. His teammate, Stephen Curry. Because for the last 12 years, Steph has made 10% more threes than anybody else in the NBA, except the 1 year he got hurt, right? And ultimately, like, at some point, the ratings need to show that. We have all-time teams, and then we have current-day teams, right? So, like, the current-day Warriors a 99 Stephen Curry, no doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody else has got to start 10% below him. Wouldn't you agree?
That's just by, you say, mere numbers,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Oh, don't by drag me into this. I don't want Clay calling me a clown. You're on your He's own, Ronnie 2K.
Yeah,
don't rope me into this.
I'll fight this myself.
It's going to be a hell of a moment where you at the ring ceremony tonight. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
If Draymond Green staring at you, then you'll know you might, you know. You know
I might right. have to go home. No, like, again, like, so much respect for these guys. They're amazing basketball players. I don't really know why I was a target when 8,000 miles away. Like, I was in bed. It was 3 in the morning, right? Like, yes. When Klay Thompson decided to say that in Japan, I'm like, why are you thinking of us or me when you're 8,000 miles away? But again, it speaks to the power of the game and the success that it's had.
Ronnie 2K here on the Rich Eisen Show. You guys ran a simulation of the entire NBA season.
Yep.
NBA 2K23. Let's put it up on the screen. Jason Tatum wound up being your most valuable
yes.
player. With Keegan Murray, the rookie of the year of the Sacramento Kings. Sixth man of the year, Kevin Love. Giannis is your defensive player of the year. Cade Cunningham, most improved player of the Pistons. And Ja Morant is the NBA Finals MVP, as your simulation had the Grizzlies over the Sixers in 7 games.
How about that?
How about them apples? So how do you determine who's the most valuable player, since that is such a...
Well, again, it's the simulation of the game. So whatever it spits out, that's like our thing. And, you know, it's been very, very
accurate
over the years. This one was kind of wild. Like, I'm, you know, I saw this and I'm like, wow, these are people that have not been in those conversations before. I mean, the Grizzlies are an amazing team, and they are definitely ready to elevate to the next, you know, platform in the NBA. But this is a couple platforms above, right? They got to get past the Warriors. They got to get past a bunch of other teams. So, but that's what the game says. And Ja is an amazing player, so I could see that happening. I could see the Grizzlies shocking the world for sure.
Okay, but when it's such a subjective award, MVP, yeah. how does a simulation spit out who the MVP is?
I mean, just
is?
Like everybody else does, right? Like points per game, it starts with the stats, and then it starts about how many teams, you know, the best player on the best team. That's usually how we measure MVP, right? So I bet you in that simulation that the Celtics had mid-60s wins and were very successful, and then Tatum had a humongous year.
At what point did the simulation pinpoint in the season when Russell Westbrook chafes at his role with the Lakers? Was there any point of the simulation?
Yeah, I think Russell drops out to the bench and then down the rotation as the season goes along. It's you know, with Russ, it's like it's really interesting. He's a very polarizing player in our game, because we rated him as 78 this year and Patrick Beverley's a 79. Okay. And you just look at that from the core, you're like, this guy averaged a triple double a couple years.
Yes.
And so, like, how could that even happen? But we are not a multi-year thing, right? Like, we are talking about this year's Lakers, this year's version of Russell Westbrook. So, like, I think that's probably fitting. It's challenging to hear, you know, these guys that have played at such a high level to now be in the 70s, that's a tough pill to swallow. But, you know, it's definitely fitting. He led the league in turnovers last year. There's a lot that's involved in that. So.
Sure. But, I mean, when you're, I guess, either on a Zoom with your colleagues or in a meeting room, when it spits out that Beverly's got 1 point better of a rating than Russell, do you all nod your head and go, okay, this is what we're looking for?
Yeah. I mean, well, no, I'm not looking for. I mean, that's
we're you just gonna, like that. Though.
We're just going to go with whatever the game says, right? Like, that's ultimately
you don't,
what the
you
formula.
Don't, you don't
we
move
don't
around?
Tinker. We don't. Yeah, I mean, I got asked multiple times yes. about being bribed for ratings, you know, and I have been bribed, but I've never taken the bribe, just to be clear, you know, like our ratings are,
come on.
I swear to God.
Is this an actual player or an agent?
There's
of the
been
player?
So many players that have done it. Oh, 100%. Again, we talked about it at the beginning of this interview, how yes. much they care. So why not bribe? You know, they have
meaning what? Give me a little bit better of a rating. Like, literally.
Yeah. They have they have all the tools to do it. So why not? You know, if you want to be known as better than everybody else in the locker room, I could see that happening.
Is
right?
it something as simple as like 79 to an 80, or is it like 85 to 93? Like,
you know what I think it is more than the number? I think it's about like the competition between players at the same position. Like, I've had this conversation with so many of the NBA guys themselves, which is like, I am definitely better than this guy. Mm-hmm. And his rating is lower. And he's like, how am I not better than that guy? I don't think it's the number that's such a lightning rod. I mean, except in cases like Clay and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think the big lightning rod is comparisons to everybody else. Because if they did do it just in comparisons to everybody else, Clay would not be upset, right? Like, he's the second best three-point shooter in the NBA. He's the second highest rated NBA three-point shooter in our game. So, but that then obviously some people are more involved in the number, and some people are more involved in the competition against other players. The other thing I got to say is, unlike other games, mm-hmm. we aren't like we're basing it off of all-time historical stuff, right? So the only 99 on one team is 95-96 Michael Jordan. It's the only 99 in our game. There's all-time teams that have a bunch of 99s,
right.
But just on that team, he's the only one. So that means everybody else has to fall in line behind that, right? So, like, LeBron has never been higher than a 99 on one of those teams. We're basing it off of all of the history of basketball. Other games don't do that. So, like, you know, Madden has, you know, has 13 99s, right? Which is cool. That's the way that they do it. But we're, you know, we have a lot more of his historical perspective to think of.
So is Victor Wembanyama 99 in French 2K? Is there a French 2K?
That's going to be interesting.
Are you already rating him or what?
Oh, we have definitely talked about that guy. I mean, he is the freak NBA 2K player, right? A 7'4 guy that can do everything. He's KD with 5 extra inches. Like, I don't know how... He's gonna break our game. We have definitely had those conversations.
He's gonna break your game, yeah, huh? Sure. You've already had conversations about he's gonna break your game.
We have
game.
Definitely had conversations.
He's
about
basically
that.
Me every time I've made a player on one of those.
I mean, but you guys remember when when Stephen Curry made 402 3-pointers back in 2016?
Yes.
That was a challenging thing for us. And not the way, not the amount he made them, but the way he made them. All of a sudden, he's making them from 35 feet consistently.
Yes.
That is very arcade-y, like very 2K. Mm-hmm. But it was something that we had to, like, sit around and, like, figure out. How are we going to deal with this evolution of the game? All of a sudden, you know, just like the NBA was talking about how the game has changed from a inside the paint to outside, you know, the arc kind of game. We had to change the way that our game was built that way too to follow that. So,
well, if you guys currently have players in the NBA who have issues with being rated here and there based on others who might be younger than them or not as good as them, if Wembanyama comes in and he starts breaking your records without even one single professional tip off yet, I mean, you're going to be. I think you'll hear it.
Yeah, we definitely will. It's going to be interesting because there's going to be a bunch of guys that, you know, set the league on fire the past few years, and then we have to consider this guy that's 7'4 that can do everything. It's crazy.
Do you have a question for Ronnie 2K, TJ, being the NBA 2K player of the Rich Eisen show?
Just wondering, Ronnie, how did you get into this position that you're in? How did you get to become?
He bribed somebody.
Yeah, I used the bribes. No, I've been here 15 years, and I'm so honored because, like, it's the hardest working group of individuals in any, like, organization. Our game, you know, annualized titles are very, very difficult because they, you know, we have a very short time to put out a product that's so much different than the year before. And these guys figure out a way, blood, sweat, and tears, to like take this thing to a whole nother thing. I think my rise came because, like, the NBA started focusing on their personas, right? Like, you care about LeBron and Steph and their business around them.
Yes.
More than you care about the Lakers and Rockets and whatnot, right? And I felt like that was an opportunity, you know, with us to be personas. And, like, now you look at marketing in general, take outside of video games, there's a lot of people that are now influencers, right? And people really connect with these individuals as opposed to brands and what they like and what they desire. I just happen to be a 2K super fan that I believe, like, understood social media, worked really, really hard, but was very, like, blessed to work on an amazing product with some amazing people.
Well, enjoy tonight's tip-off in San Francisco. Who are you going with? Are you going with your fiance?
I'm going with my fiance. My wife. We just got married on Saturday, so.
You got married on Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, terrific.
And I was like, congrats. You know what I'd like Mazel to do tough. To celebrate my wedding? I'd like to come on the Rich Eisen show.
Hey, you know what? You're not the first. I don't know who was before you, but I'll just say you're not the first. Are you registered at where? Best Buy or something? Where are you registered? Where's Ronnie 2K?
GameStop for sure.
GameStop?
Stop. And get, the NBA store.
What, you can get an NBA 2K gravy boat for you or something like
Can't wait.
For,
candlesticks.
Candlesticks. That makes a nice gift. At Ronnie2K on both Twitter and Instagram. NBA 2K23 is obviously up. And Adam, congratulations on all your success.
Oh, thank you, Rich.
And I really appreciated this conversation. It was so good, I'm not even now concerned Klay Thompson will never appear on this show now. So
it's going to be great when you and Klay run into each other at the grocery store. Since
That'll be great.
I can't wait for the Rich Eisen is a clown tweet from Klay.
Here comes.
Hey!
Place it on at Rich Eisen Show is our Instagram page.
That's right.
Spell my name right. At Ronnie2K again on Twitter and Instagram. Let's make a habit of this anytime you're in Los Angeles.
Please pick up NBA 2K23 if you haven't already. It is the Jordan year, so like it's a really good one.
23. I get it.
Glad they keep me around.
Nice. One of the many reasons. All right, we're back with more on the Rich Eisen Show in a second.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You're unlocking potential, folks. The potential to do your own thing and be your own boss and steer your own success, blaze your own trail. Because each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set to help you follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure, and check all the bold, big, fun, and exciting experiences you have right off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams, no matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Victor Wembanyama is going to break NBA 2K, says Ronnie2K.
Like I said,
they don't know what to do with him.
He's every character that I've ever created on my own going back to the Sega days. You make yourself 7'3" with handles, right? And a three-point shot, Brock.
Right,
when you did that.
You make yourself the tallest.
The tallest.
You put your 99s at everything. Right. And then this is what this kid could be. And it's like, what do you do? Like you said, he's Kevin Durant plus 5 more inches. And he's 18. He's already minus 1,000 to be the number one pick. You know what that means?
So don't even bother.
That
means you bet $1,000
to win one,
and you only win 100.
Who would make a bet like that?
People who need there to call 900 numbers, Rich.
Who would make a bet like that?
About a couple hundred.
I'm just saying, if you're betting,
you have to
futures,
wait a year to win $100.
Right. Exactly.
But it costs you $1,000 out of your pocket first.
Imagine you're down that bad with betting that you would risk a grand just to win a buck.
Well, what
like,
if he gets hurt?
No,
even if he gets hurt, would he still be the first overall pick?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's like Kevin Durant signing a max, even though he was going to sit out a whole year.
Didn't Embiid get drafted high despite being hurt?
Was he hurt?
Wasn't he hurt in Kansas?
I know he got hurt in Kansas. Yeah,
but I can't remember when he got. I know he broke his foot, right? But I don't remember when exactly it was. I'm trying to like put the process. Years out of my mind.
How about he's so good that they're talking about him already in the offices of NBA 2K?
Yeah. Like I said,
looming over the entire season, the tips tonight.
Danny Ainge didn't just start giving up Royce O'Neal that made Brian Windhorst do all this. There was a reason for all that, and it was Crown Vic.
Crown Vic.
There's a reason why Ainge has been in the Riviera for a while. Is what he's saying?
Just, you know, boning up on his French.
That's what it is.
Bonjour, oui, bon sweet.
The Arc de Larry O'Brien.
Je m'appelle Danny.
Look at him.
I took French for a few semesters.
Very good. You know? It sounds like it. Yeah, it really sounds like it.
Yeah. Je m'appelle.
From now on, it's all about the Larry O'B.
Tomorrow, are we going to make our picks tomorrow?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask him what's his rating for hosts who picked the Warriors prior to the season last year.
You know, I don't
that's
know
a 99, pal.
I don't know if you heard, but I slipped in there. Hey, if you're ever looking to put a sports show in the game, you know, I know one.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll now. Be this one. I'm sure it'll be this one.
Well, he said your boy, I forget what his name was.
Yeah, Ethan?
He said he was the one to talk about that.
Okay, very good.
And you got to know with
liked,
Ethan.
I always liked Ethan.
Like Tatum MVP, that's all you need to hear.
Dude.
People. Come on.
Really? Now. Really? Really?
Why not?
Okay.
What do you mean?
We'll see what your Celtics season looks like.
Betting,
see what it goes.
Betting favorite to win the title.
Very good.
That can't be. I'm sorry, you last can't night, lose your
oh, by
coach.
By the way, last night Cooper had his fantasy league, the sixth grade fantasy league, with some of his friends and his cousins, his brother. Xander drafted Jrue Holiday. You know what he nicknamed his team?
Wait a minute, let me think. Jrue Holiday.
The High Holidays. I like it.
Wow.
I wouldn't have got that.
I like it. The High Holidays.
Not a lot of members of the tribe in the association. But that's all right.
Hey, man, used to be. Used to be. 10 Bye. Jews tipping up in Toronto, man. With the Knicks.
The Shays.
Yeah, the Shays. Coming over, having a beautiful portion of basketball for y'all.
Can you do our draft tomorrow? We got to do our
I don't know. Coop wants in, as you know. I think he's got like a flag football game or something. All right. So here's a great conversation I had with Coop. You ready for this one? Because he asked me how excited I was about the Jets.
Okay.
I told him I love it. To the point where I looked him in the face. I said, would you please refer to me now as Sauce?
Did he laugh at you?
He did not.
Why?
He goes, no, I still want to call you Dad or Daddy. And I'm like, no. Because Coop takes things very literally.
He is very literally.
And I had to keep repeating it so you understood.
Yeah. He is very little.
There was a little wink and a nod, but deep down, I wouldn't mind if he called me Sauce Dad for a while. That's how into it I am. That's how excited I am.
Best Sauce Dad ever.
Sauce Dad.
Too much
sauce Dad, Sauce Daddy. Since obviously that was who was out there on the field with a little cheese on his head in Lambeau Field. I can't believe the Jets have somebody who walks it and talks it, and you have to even this kid. Is cutting through the ice. That how many? What if somebody had done? I mean, Revis would never have done it, but
even that.
No. I'm just talking about a Jet. Forget about it. I'm just talking about Jet.
We're
a Jet. Where people are like,
Gaston
go on with your bad self. Go
Gaston
on with your bad self. But even back then, it'll be, you know, okay, sack exchange this, sack exchange. That's really cute. We got Marino to come beat your ass anyway. You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of different.
You better put some respect on Joe Klecko's name.
The closest might get in the hall. Would have gotten was,
you know. Mark, I want you to have my cheese truck.
Hey, man. He will not call me Sauce, but I'm like, kept on.
Mark, I want you to have my cheese truck.
See, now I'm going to do a callback. I do very, very rarely do a callback on my 11-year-old son, but when I see him today, you know, hey, Dad, how you doing? Who is that?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Call me Sauce.
Sauce. You want to know how excited I am about my Jets? Sauce.
If you're Italian, it's gravy.
Sauce.
That is, it's true. That's gravy.
It's gravy.
That's like
I told him in a couple weeks, Sauce is going to come pick off Bailey Zappi.
How's the New York Post?
The new quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Sauce. They had to.
Yeah, baby.
I bet
Zappi.
I bet Mac starts this week.
You think so?
I do.
Against the Bears?
Yeah.
As Belichick passes George Halas, second all-time winning coach against the Bears? You know that'll happen. Jordan Poirier of the Bills, Colin Hanks in studio coming up.
I personally would want to see him out there. I want Mac to get a get back game, feel good, get an easy win because the Jets are, you know, looming in weekend.
As we all know, Mac was the one sitting in the draft room with Justin Fields taken before him.
That's right.
And then Mac came out looking all like Vince McMahon walking.
No chance.
I'm going to sell you insurance.
I'd like to speak with your manager.
The Jets New England game we're looking forward to, like. As a Jets fan.
That game should probably get flexed into Sunday night.
As a Jets
whatever
fan.
The game is.
You know what, folks?
It's amazing.
Let me just say this.
It's amazing.
Let me just say this.
Say it, Rich.
Get used to the Jets being a team you want to see. I can't wait till the Jets are going to be that brash team you want to root against. I can't wait for it. Because they're coming to your house and putting whatever your version of a piece of cheese is on their head and walking out and saying to everybody else, come at the king.
But you bet not miss.
Yes. I know you might think I'm overreacting here. But they're young and they're good and they know it. And they're coming for Broncos country. Let's ride. Next week, they're next on the hit list. And then the two Bills, Belichick and Buffalo.
You do ride.
Let's go. Let's go. Yeah, Quinnen Williams is coming for your grill. Get used to it.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.